Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you heard of the expression inside baseball? It refers to the minute inner workings of some system or process that is really interesting to the people who are involved, who are experts in that system, but is quite boring or dull or removed from everyone else outside of that system. Conversations or discussions that are really interesting to people who are in the know in a subject can also be really boring or difficult for people outside of the subject to understand. If you have ever asked a PhD student what they were writing their dissertation on, then you have been introduced to the phrase inside baseball. One time, Jennifer and I ran into one of my old college buddies, and no hatred on PhD students, by the way. But one time we ran into one of my old college buddies in Austin. This guy was a partier when he was in college with me. Kind of crazy, a little reckless. But we ran into him, and he was a very staid, serious PhD student, getting his PhD in linguistics and writing his dissertation on, well, he told me, but I couldn't tell you a word of what he told me. Because for the next hour, he explained the minute details of this inner debate between different linguists that was very interesting to all 10 of the people who were involved in this very serious debate. But for the rest of us, for Jennifer and I, we had no idea what he was talking about. Bless his heart. That's inside baseball. I bring this up because the Gospel of Matthew can sometimes feel like inside baseball. Jesus' words are often to a specific audience about a very specific topic. In particular, he's often confronting the Jewish leaders, the religious and political leaders of the people of Israel. And you and I, at least most of us, presumably, are 21st century Gentiles. We can feel sort of removed from these inner religious debates that Jesus has with these religious leaders. It can feel like inside baseball. In today's reading, Jesus tells the religious establishment a parable about a landowner, about some slaves, about a tenant, about some tenants, and about a son. In this parable, the landowner represents God, and God creates this vineyard for the people of Israel. The vineyard is the people of Israel, and the tenants are the religious leaders called to lead the people of Israel. The slaves are the prophets who come again and again to the people of Israel to preach repentance, to call the people to produce fruit. And again in the history of Israel, the prophets are persecuted. As Jesus says, some were stoned, some had this bad thing, some had this other bad thing. The prophets had a rough go of things. And then finally, this landowner, remember God, decides to send his son, which of course is Jesus. He sends his son to the vineyard to come, and he thinks, surely they will listen to my son. They've killed all of the slaves. They've killed all of the prophets, but they will listen to my son. But what do the tenants do? What do the religious establishment do? They seize the son, kill him, and try and steal the inheritance. And by the end of this reading, or by the end of this parable, the religious leaders have started to put two and two together. They've started to realize that Jesus is in fact talking about them. When he says, what should be done to those wicked tenants? They say, you should throw them out, kill them, make them suffer. They say their own condemnation. They speak their own judgment. This whole parable explicitly reworks Isaiah chapter 5, where God speaks through a prophet Isaiah, to the people of Israel, calling Israel a vineyard that is producing bad grapes. It is an inside baseball sort of story. The experts in Scripture would have known what the vineyard stood for. They would know what Jesus was doing. It can seem like this parable is confined to a specific word, to these specific Pharisees and chief priests. The question is, what is the good word for us today? Can the Scriptures speak? Can they speak life to us right now? Yes. But there's a little bit of bad news before we get to the good news. The good news is so much better than the bad news that it cancels it out, but we got to go through the bad news first. And here is the bad news. When we hear this parable, we immediately think, oh, Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders, bad guys. It doesn't concern us. Or if it does concern us, we are the ones who are given the fruit because I believe in Jesus. I haven't rejected Jesus like those Pharisees and scribes and religious leaders. I am on team Jesus. I'm not one of those guys. We can say to ourselves, Lord, thank you that you have not made me like these Pharisees. I believe. The problem is that if you read all of the New Testament, it becomes really clear that it's not just the leaders of Israel who reject Jesus. The problem isn't confined to a few bad apples, or to continue the metaphor, bad grapes. It's not just an inner Jewish debate. The rejection of Jesus implicates the whole world. The Gentile world of Rome, they are the ones who crucify Jesus. The crowd that we learn at the end of this reading who regard him as a prophet, Jesus the prophet, they yell, crucify him. The loyal disciples who leave everything to follow Jesus, they run away, they lie, and they deny him when he is arrested at his moment of need. One of these loyal disciples is even a traitor. God sent his son into a world that says, no thank you. We liked how we were doing things before you came. And the truth is, do you not see the rejection of God all around our world today? And before you start thinking of your particular enemies who are rejecting God, think about yourself. We heard those 10 commandments read. Have you kept all 10 of them? I'm going to guess, if you were like me, that you've broken a few here and there. And what happens when we break the commandment other than reject the God who gives the commands? When you do not receive these commands from God, you are rejecting him. When you reject the poor, who Jesus says are an image of him in the world, the least of these, you reject Jesus. Have you ever rejected the poor in your heart or in any action? You see, the truth is, all of us break against this stone, this rock called Jesus. We are all crushed. The whole world is complicit in the rejection of Jesus. And that's bad news. But here is where the good news comes in. The son that is rejected by the tenants, that son is killed. Jesus does die on the cross, but the death that seems like the judgment of the world is the salvation of the world. The stone that is rejected becomes the cornerstone. The crucified one brings salvation to the world, and this salvation is so much better than what went before. You see, when Jesus dies and rises again, When he dies on the cross and rises again, he does not invite us to just become tenants in another vineyard. He doesn't just become another CEO or manager that we have to do our best to produce or else we're fired. No. When Jesus dies and rises again, he creates a new people who relate to God in a new way. Not as a manager, not as a divine CEO. No, through Jesus' death and resurrection, the Son that comes to us enables us to become sons and daughters of God. We are given ownership of the vineyard, even though we are the ones who have rejected him. Through the Son, through Jesus, we are made sons and daughters. And this inheritance that those wicked tenants tried to steal, Jesus gives it away freely. Jesus gives it away fully. Jesus tells us that we become children of God, inheritors with Christ. We inherit what Christ does. The benefits that God's Son has, the familial relationship that Jesus the Son has to the Father, we are invited into that relationship. The very love that exists between God the Father and God the Son can become the love that we can participate in. So we no longer have to relate to God as our manager, as a tenant or a slave. But we can cry out to God and say the words that Jesus taught us. We can say, "Our Father," and pray to him as beloved children. That is not inside baseball. That is good news for the whole world. Amen.